Caution. Learning in progress.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Smarter Every Season. I'm Nate Burnham, and with me I got Hans Stutzman. Hans, it's that time of year again.
It is. It's springtime. It's time to start thinking, seeing planners move.
For some, already moving.
It is.
Some, we are chomping at the bit. And then I got a message from a buddy yesterday out west, and he's working on a planner. He goes, getting the planner ready to roll, and it is just snowing. And he's got snow on the planner, and I'm like, oh, yep, looks like you are ready to pop off any day now.
So, no, it's that fun time of year, and a little bit of a you got guys that have been done for 3 weeks in the south, and you got guys in central Illinois that are ready to roll, and some that have already gone a little bit, and then you got the northern states that are waiting for just some dry weather to put sugar beets in. And yeah, it's an odd time when there's a wide range of people in all different parts of getting ready to plant.
Yeah. But with that being said, this is the first episode of our weekly spring updates.
Correct.
So they're going to be a little bit shorter. They're going to be a little bit more straight to the point. We're still going to try to kind of break things out from issues or topics that we're seeing widespread that would be applicable to .0 or .1.
Yep.
And then we'll also talk some .1 specific.
Yep. Yep.
All right. Well, hey, let's jump right into it. So first thing on the list, guys are starting to pull their planters out or they're getting in the field for the first day. We have, what, four requirements basically to start running. What are those four requirements?
Yeah. So the first one I always look at is speed. Are you getting speed? So whether that's GPS or radar, are you getting speed on the display to show that you're actually moving? Then we have to have a commanded rate. So systems enabled and commanded. So it's got to have a command of some kind, whether that's a seeding rate, whether that's a Delta Force target, whatever it is, it has to have a command of a population or a target downforce. Then we had to show lowered. So the list switch has to recognize that we're showing lowered, whether that's a list switch failing, whether that's often the first things we start looking for is like, why are you actually getting the list switch that shows lowered? Did it lose its calibration, or did you something get bumped in the wintertime and that switch for some reason is now no longer getting activated? So speed, command, lowered, and then the last one is master plan switch. It's one that keeps popping up again and again and again. It's got to be, the master has to be enabled for the system to run.
It's that little pop-up we X out of right away, right?
Yeah, it pops up right away, and you hit the X button, and you're moving on because you want to get to something else. And invariably, it's that little, you call in, and you get the question, and about 30 seconds into you ask the question, what's the top right corner show? Does it have a little master icon in the top right corner? So that's also the first one, especially with Gen 3. Gen 2 is that event code doesn't go away until you actually toggle the master plant switch on the home screen. Those are true whether you're on a Gen 2, whether you're on a Gen 3. Doesn't matter software version. Those four requirements are there no matter what, especially for a seeding system.
Okay. Sticking Gen 2, Gen 3, speed tubes.
Yeah. So last year we released another software just for speed tubes. We would recommend everyone be on at least 2020.0.4 for a Gen 2 system. A Gen 3 system needs to be at least on 24.0.2. So any .1 or 25.1 software is fine, 25.0 is fine, or 24.0.2 software.
Yeah.
For a Gen 3 system on speed tubes.
Yeah. And that's just because we put some safety measures in there.
Yeah. Safety measures in place just to basically protect the speed tube a little bit better.
Awesome. All right. .0 or just Gen 3 specific. Delta Force health checks.
Yeah, we've ran a couple across. This has been something that we've ran into in the past. The common one you'll run into with this is it's a rare occurrence, but it does happen. You go in, you start the health check, and you hit the auto load switches, and first thing you get is an auto loading meters pop up, and then the health check fails to run. If you're getting that type of event code, if you're trying to run in the health check and you're getting auto loading meters during the Delta Force health check, there are several things that we've tried to do to get away from. One is power cycle display. One is remove GPS. Those are two things that I've tried. A little bit more invasive that probably is a little bit higher success rate is to remove hardware from Delta Force. So go to your system page, remove the hardwares, the solenoids and load pins, power down the system, power back up, re-add the hardware, and rerun the health check. That one has worked for me almost every time. The others are a little less invasive, a little bit quicker time frame, but they work at a higher at a less percentage than removing hardware, but they do work as well. So those are a couple options as far as getting away from that. as far as getting away from that pop up of auto loading meters.
Okay. Okay, we'll keep it kind of all displays across the board here. Then we'll jump into our dot one side of things, but prescriptions, boundaries, client farm field, primarily from third party. We always get asked on it.
Yeah.
Yep. What are your
Prescription boundaries? That's the easiest one. Put it in a shape file. So SHP, DBF, SHX. We need those three files. There's other files that are will come out with it sometimes, but we need those three files on the root of a drive. Don't put it in a folder. Don't put it in anything. Basically, if you want three files for every field and you want to spell them all the way out across the root of the USB drive, you can stick it into a 2020, import them in, import prescriptions, import boundaries. On a Gen 3, you want to select which ones you're importing. We do kind of tag them on the Gen 3 as to which one they're going into. And then what often happens is we do not auto-assign those prescription boundaries to the field. Mm-hmm. Even if the field name's exact same as what the prescription is, we do not assign those to a field. So you have to go in and actually select the field and select prescription and boundaries and actually select one from the list to assign it to that. But we will take them from anything that gives us those three files as far as prescription or a boundary, SHP, DBF, SHX. Okay. Client farm field structure is a little bit different. You've run into this before as well, Nate. We've had this call quite a bit. So most client farm field structures, we will take it from any, you can go from any Gen 2 to any Gen 3. You can work back and forth between those two. What, as far as a third party system, the easiest one that we can work with is SMS. That one, they can export a setup, basically a field setup file, and import the field client farm field structure from SMS into a Gen 2 or a Gen 3 system. So that's the one in John Deere. We don't have anything on options as far as John Deere. I'm going to be able to export from JD Ops into a Gen 2 or a Gen 3. The file structure that they use is different than ours and does not come across.
Okay.
So that is kind of our history, the past of it, but I think you got something new on Panorama on this one.
Yeah, so good time to call out Panorama. There is now a planning tab in Panorama.
Okay.
And basically what that does is it allows you to create a client farm field structure or export it out of Operations Center or really anything that will export it as a Excel folder.
Okay.
And then we can load that into Panorama. We can make adjustments there. And then with the release of 1.3, we can actually pull that directly to the Gen 3 when it's on 1.3 without the use of a USB. We can select which client farm and field structures we want to pull in. But it's a pretty neat tool, and then we also have an export button on there to download it to a USB and then and use do it the old fashioned way. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that does give us the ability then to pull from JD Ops, import it into Panorama, and then from there get that out. Is that a free version of the Panorama, or is that just it's got to be a paid version on that?
Yeah. So that's going to be operation specific.
Okay. So it does require
you have to have that subscription for an operation.
Okay.
It is a very simple process once you have it. I mean, I think you and I both.
I think I had it out of JD Ops and in a Panorama in about 45 seconds, if I remember correctly.
It is pretty slick. So if you have more questions on it, it should be pretty intuitive, but give us a shout. I have a very rough document that kind of shows the process of it. But yeah, give us a shout at product support and we'll help you with that.
Okay.
All right, let's jump into dot one or dot one specific things. Mm-hmm. First thing we're going to start off is 16-inch displays. We've been getting an uptick in calls.
What software do I use with 16-inch displays?
yep. Specifically to the 16-inch displays, what are we seeing and how do we fix it, really?
Yeah, so the biggest thing is to make sure that they are on dot one software. So when they ship, they're going to be on any 16-inch display that we ship out this year. Will be on, I believe it's 24.1.14, I think, or 13. One of those two versions. That software will not go back. That display will not go back to a previous software version. So if you plug it into one that's on 25.0, it will not go back at all.
Specifically to the DBM.
Correct. It will not update to what the DBM is. So just as a rule of thumb, best practice, if you're trying to plug in a 16-inch display, either take that DBM and plug it into another 10-inch display that you can verify that it's on 25.1 software, or take a boot stick, boot software, 25.1, upload them, and make sure that DBM is on 25.1 software, yeah. Then plug it into the display.
And one good call out, I would say, is you can power the DBM up by itself.
Correct.
If the light is blue with no display connected to it,
that's
it is
on.
It is not on dot one.
It is not on dot one.
Dot one, there was a change where if the DBM is healthy, whether there's a display connected to it or not, it will be a green light on
correct.
The DBM.
Correct.
So that's an easy way to check and verify before we plug a 16-inch
correct.
Into it.
Yep. It has to be on, it needs to be a green LED light on the DBM. So plug the DBM in by itself, just a power cable. Don't plug any Ethernet devices into it and see what the light status is.
Yeah. So, and then the same to be said, too, if you do throw boot software into the DBM, make sure that light goes green.
Correct. Yep. Yep.
All right. Keeping with dot one, there's kind of an additional step or additional thing to check when we're trying to go in and do like our manual liquid test.
This was something that years ago used to be true on liquid systems. You had to enable this as well, but this is across the board on all manual tests, or what we're used to call them as health checks, because that's still kind of how we use them, whether that's a seating system, a liquid system, or a health, Delta Force health check, Delta Force manual check, you have to go to the home, have the widget enabled on the home screen. So if you set up a seating down Delta Force downforce system and a liquid system, once you get done setting that, before you go through your health checks and manual tests, go to the home screen, add those widgets to the home screen, and enable them if you want to run them on the health check page. It's caught quite a few of us. We're sitting in the health check trying to figure out why it won't run. Nothing's happening. Nothing's changing. Nothing's doing everything. And it's just because we didn't add the widget to the home screen.
Yeah. Easy to miss, easy to overlook.
Yep.
A good call out.
Good call. One other thing on there, I think you had the notes on this, is that there is the Delta Force health checks as we are used to, the air purge and those things, they are different in dot one software. And we do have a document on, it's in the Delta Force operations manual, on how to run through those, that air purge and the manual test.
Yes.
To do what you are used to accomplishing in the past. So, take a look at those. Basically, there's some specific numbers that we want to put in for the air purge test. There's a little bit of a nuance to how you do the manual test. It's not hard. It's just there is a sheet to walk you through each one of those.
Yep. All right. Last thing I think I have. We do already have some resources as far as dot one goes. What do we have? Where do we go to find them?
Yeah, so dot one resources, if you go to cloud and then click on monitors and then click on Gen 3, underneath Gen 3, there's a 25.1 operations guides. And those are, they have the operations guide list and the videos and setup videos. They include some of the other systems that are on there. I believe it also includes like Air Force and Rate Control. Some of those setup videos are all in that page. That is the best place to go get some of your resources as far as knowing how to set the display up and walk through some of the configuration screens on that.
Yeah. Yep. And we are working to increase those as we continue on.
It's just time limits on what we're chasing there. But yes, those are a couple of things that, but that's where the best place to go get some resources. And then just a reminder, a lot of our resources that are out there, so I'm going to throw a plug out there for our Liquid team, because I also know this is a great time to run through Liquid Pump Cals. There's a great sheet underneath EMHD on how to go through and do those liquid cals and the offset checks as far as the flow adjustment offset checks. Go to resources, EMHD, or Vapply HD, I believe it is. Yeah. And then in that screen, there is the link. We can post those links in the show notes as well. But those are two phenomenal places to make sure you reiterate, though. Go check those as you're getting ready for liquid systems and doing pump cals and doing first checkouts on planners. Those are phenomenal.
Yeah. And then I guess the last thing that I would have that just popped into my head is save configurations.
Yeah, that's a big one. That's a big one.
So especially harp on it in training.
Yep. Save configurations, whether it's in the display or on a USB stick, both of them. If it was me, I would do it on both of them.
Yep.
That's kind of the most valuable way of doing it.
Yeah. All right. Anything else that I'm missing, Hans?
No, I think that's good.
Awesome. Well, hey, we are looking forward to a fun spring. We hope, you know, we have good weather and we can all get everything in quickly and efficiently. but yeah, we'll be back next time with our next update.
Sounds good.